Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRS Table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we are excited to be back with you here in January 2017. It has been a long year, and we are here just to go and do everything that we know God wants us to do, and that is to bring you the best possible shows dealing with your possessions, your resources, and your finances for 2017. Tonight, we are welcoming a very special guest with us. Her name is Kimberly Silas. We will bring her on in just a minute. She's a body transformation coach. She's an independent business owner. She's out of Atlanta, Georgia, and we are going to be talking tonight about Health is Your Wealth. That's what our series is, and we are getting back to a place that we was at last year. Last year, we started off the year dealing with series, and we're going to do the same thing this year. So for the whole month, we're going to have Ms. Kimberly with us, and our dialogue is going to be talking about reshaping the normalcy around fitness and finances and faith, and also getting on the path to retiring wealthy, but not just retiring wealthy, but also retiring healthy. So without further ado, let's go to our co-host or the other host of this show. I want to bring in Mama so everybody can hear Mama real briefly. Mama, good evening. Mama is out of North Carolina.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I want to wish everyone a happy New Year, and we welcome you. And I'm just excited. And welcome to my PRF family again. Amen.
And we also have out of El Paso, Texas, or at least that's where she's at right now. I don't think she's going to claim El Paso, but we have what we know around here at the table as the firecracker of the crew, Minister Adia Sanders. Adia, good evening. How are you this evening?
Good evening, everyone. I'm doing good. I'm so glad to be on the first show of 2017, and I'm ready just really to take in, and I'm pretty sure I'll comment here and there, but just really looking forward to the show tonight. So our guest, thank you so much for just, you know, coming on with us and sharing your information so that we can apply it to our lives and be better people and just grow all the way around.
Yes. And also we have with us Shatara Sherwood. We know we had to make sure we couldn't forget her. Shatara Sherwood, she is in Virginia joining us. She's one of our other hosts of this show, and definitely also a blessing to the PRF table and the PRF family. Shatara, how are you this evening?
I'm blessed. Happy I made it to 2017 and looking forward to making it the best year yet. So, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, we got to put Jesus in it because that's really why we're doing what we're doing. I mean, this is really about not just about us coming on the show every Thursday at 8 p.m. to just have this show and to talk about things. It's one, I can't say just to lead people to Christ, but, you know, following from John chapter 10, verse 10, Christ said he came to give life and give life more abundantly. And so it is about Christ. And if somewhere down the line somebody decides to give their life to Christ, you know, we say hallelujah and praise God for that as well. So without further ado, we're going to get into this series tonight. It's called Health is Your Wealth. Matter of fact, your health is your wealth. And we want to bring on Kimberly Silas. Everybody, let's just say hello. And Kimberly, good evening to you.
Good evening, Dr. Dunlap. Am I coming through clear?
You are perfectly fine.
Excellent. Thank you so very much. First of all, let me say thank you for this amazing opportunity. Dr. Dunlap, Happy New Year. Thank you to my PRF Roundtable family. I appreciate the warm reception. And I am just overly ecstatic about being with you this evening. I literally have listened to my heartbeat. I am just that excited.
Well, we are excited. We are excited. And listen, for those of y'all who have never been on the PRF table, we have conversations, and we take those conversations and we move those into dialogue. We get down into the weeds. I mean, we just don't deal on the topic, on the surface. You know, we really get down into, you know, what's going on with you, what's going on with your family, what's going on in society and community. And what does God have to do with all of this? What is God saying? And we know for a fact that God is saying to us, those that are in the church, those who are not in the church, look, we got to do better. As a community, as a people, as believers, we have to do better with our health. And, you know, from the PRF perspective, it is amazing that we just came up with this series for this month, because normally we always talk about financial healing. And God revealed to me that this is about financial healing, because if you're not healthy, then what are you going to do when situations come up? It's going to affect your finances. And so we want to bring all that together, and that's why we have Ms. Silas with us, so she can kind of enlighten us on some things. And so what I want to do, Kimberly, is I really want you just to introduce who you are, where you're from. Give us a little bit about your story, and then we're just going to go from there.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Let me say that my name is Kimberly Silas. I am a body transformation coach, an independent business owner. I live in Stone Mountain, Georgia, which is approximately 20 minutes east of Atlanta. And I wanted to discuss with you tonight, or share my testimony about health and wellness. I consider myself a fully recovered overcomer of obesity. My journey has been as such that I've learned through this process that obesity is not the result necessarily of poor eating habits, but it is more of a spiritual bondage. I am 6 feet 2 inches tall. According to medical standards, I should be approximately 185 to 230 pounds max. At my heaviest weight, Dr. Dunlap, I weighed in at 408 pounds. Over the past 24 months, I have successfully lost over 160 pounds, all natural, no surgeries, no excessive chemicals, and been able to keep the weight off. Now, my testimony is that I have been on a diet since kindergarten. As a child, I was a very, very, very large kid, and my parents felt like a way to satisfy or reward me would be to give me brownies and cakes and ice cream, fried chicken, anything that my heart desires. Well, you know what the result has been. Not only did I gain an excessive amount of weight, but I learned to use food to mask my pain. Whenever I was troubled with a situation, I used food. In my younger days, in my early adult life, the weight was simple to keep off. But somewhere in my late 20s, early 30s, the weight began to set in. And at my heaviest weight, I weighed in at 408 pounds. And I lived with that level of obesity that I thought was a functioning rate for a number of years. Although I've tried numerous diets with a minimal amount of success, I was not able to consistently keep the weight off. It wasn't until I would say 2012, 2013, that my health began to seriously fail me. I was dealing with massive migraine headaches on a regular basis. I experienced a period of time where I had peripheral blindness. What that means is that due to elevated blood pressures and high cholesterol levels, I was able to see straight ahead, but there was no focus, complete darkness to my left and right. I, out of ignorance, assumed that it was based on my contact lenses. But needless to say, after I had an emergency reading from a medical professional, I found that my weight had become such a serious issue that the numbness, the lack of vision, the headaches, all of the warning signs that I was exhibiting were preparing me for a massive stroke or heart attack or even worse. During that time, I was immediately approved for a gastric bypass surgery. Now, in my ignorance, I was excited in this process because I had tried every other diet. They did not work. I felt like the gastric bypass was the answer to my prayers, and that if I go in through a medical procedure, allow them to do this radical transformation that I would be okay. Where my saving grace, and this is only by the grace of God, when I went in for my pre-surgical consultation, the doctor refused to give me the surgery until I had lost 50 pounds. My blood pressure and cholesterol rates were so excessive that they felt I was a medical threat to put me under in that capacity. And needless to say, I left there feeling a little overwhelmed and depressed. But I was stubborn enough that I said, I've done it before. I'll do it again. I'll get these 50 pounds off. Fortunately, during this process, a friend of mine introduced me to an all-natural, organic set of products that were aimed towards restabilizing the body and teaching the body how to cleanse and burn fat within itself. I was a skeptic, and I went in with a great deal of skepticism, but I wanted to prove the doctors that I could do it and get that surgery. Well, within my first 30 days, Dr. Dunlap, I lost 44 pounds. I was so ecstatic, through the roof. I began to feel better. I began to function better. And I decided that maybe I could postpone that procedure for another 30 days. And that is what I chose to do. I maintained a standardized diet protocol, abandoned all fried foods, excessive amounts of bread and wheat. And I stuck to the protocol. And through this process, I began to burn fat in my sleep. As a result, I never looked back. I chose not to do the gastric bypass, and I have successfully been able to lose 160 pounds and keep the weight off. Now, what I have learned through this process is that I was not dealing with the inability to eat correctly. What I was dealing with was my spiritual inability to tap into my strength, my empowerment. And I often tell people that it is more conscious than it is physical. Physically, we can train the body to do great things. But what I was learning is that a healthy sense of self will immediately spark a transformation. And that is why I am so adamant and such a strong believer in the fact that your health is your wealth. Because on paper, Dr. Dunlap, I was credit card rich and finances poor because I knew how to make the money, but I did not know how to cycle it appropriately throughout my life. And therefore, I was constantly working in a circle like a specimen on a laboratory wheel. I was just spinning in circles, not making any progress, and I was depleting my spiritual bank in the process. So I know that one of my favorite quotes comes from one of Oprah's favorite people. Her name is Dr. Brené Brown, and she says that growing old is inevitable, but aging is optional. And we do not have to age in a unhealthy state. As you stated earlier out of the book of John, that God called for us to have life and have it more abundantly. And some of the issues that we deal with in reference to obesity is a form of self-sabotaging. When you know the truth and you stand in your truth and you execute that truth, then that abundance, that consciousness of abundance comes to the forefront, and you are able to stand in your full transformation. Today, I embrace it. I look forward. I thirst for the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm just incredibly grateful. I've turned into some form of a guru. I think I'm pretty much burning my family out on talking about health, wellness, and weight loss, but this is just an intricate part of who I am. And I'm just excited. And Dr. Dunlap, when you and I first were introduced, I was just overjoyed in the fact that it was a prayer that I asked God that I need to focus more consistently in the realm of my physical accountability. And little did I know, I was sitting across the table from a spiritual fiscal giant. And so I want to say, to whom much is given, much is required, and there is no prayer that goes unanswered.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. Kimberly, this is Adia. I just have a question.
Certainly.
You were talking about, like, the spiritual part, and I really, I'm just sitting here, like, taking notes, and when you said that, I want to ask you, as you were going through the weight loss, spiritual part of the weight loss, can you just expound on that a little bit, please?
I sure can. I think one of the things I mentioned earlier is self-sabotry. Whenever we embark on any process, weight loss just happens to be one of my most crucial areas. But whenever we embark on something, we go into it with intention. We intend to lose 30 pounds, and because we only hit the 27-pound mark, we count ourselves as losers or incapable or unable or undeserving. And I did that to myself consistently throughout my life. If I didn't make the original mark, I would consider myself deemed as inadequate, or I would deem myself as unworthy. But instead, through the spiritual process, I've learned that not to put unrealistic expectations on yourself and to embrace your process. The process is that I want to master the art of losing weight, and I want to have a healthy temple. So that is what I started focusing on versus the massive weight loss. I started focusing on honoring my spiritual temple. And once I learned that, it doesn't matter if I only lost 6 out of a 10-pound goal. I am ecstatic, and I am grateful for that, and I embrace that position that I'm at. I think that the body is such a finely tuned instrument that it takes time for us to truly learn what each and every one of us call for internally. So because my neighbor is able to lose 10 or 20 pounds and I only lost 12, does that make me any less? Or does that mean that this is just the process that I'm in at this moment, and not to give up on myself? So spiritually, I've learned to embrace the process of transformation.
Wow. You know, one of the things that I like about what you said was, you know, about what were you dealing with? And you talked about the inability to tap into your spiritual consciousness. And I think that's so important for what we do here at PRF, is because we talk about scripture on this show. And as we talk about scripture, we know that the word brings life, but it doesn't do anything if it's just words on a page. So there has to be some faith that goes along with this whole notion of spiritual consciousness. So can you just tell us, you know, and we'd like to be real on this show. On the PR table, we'd like to be real, you know.
Yeah.
Talk to us about, and I want you to talk about something, because you talked about the 44 pounds that you lost during the first month. You talked about the 160 pounds that you lost altogether. I don't know if it was in that first year or since you first started.
Yeah.
People like to look at the end result. People like to say, oh, 44 pounds in 30 days. People like to say, oh, my goodness, she lost 160 pounds. It comes to dealing with finances. People like to say, oh, this person no longer has any debt. But nobody wants to talk about the faith journey that goes along with what happened during the 30 days, the faith journey that goes along with what happened during the whole time that you've been going through this process. And everybody knows around here at the table that we deal with the process. So can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, and just be real with us about where your faith was when you began this process, and where your faith was when you got to, say, that 30-day mark, and then what you've been doing since that time.
Absolutely. As I stated early on, I went into the process as a complete skeptic, because I had tried every diet known to man. Now, because, and people that have dealt with obesity or that diet all the time, they can identify with a minimal amount of success, losing 20 pounds, losing 30 pounds. But what good is that 20 or 30 pounds when you gain back 40 and 50? So losing weight was not necessarily my issue, but keeping the weight off was very challenging for me. I think the first 30 days I was ecstatic because I didn't think it would work. And when it started working, I said, wow, I'm going to give myself another 30 days and see what type of results I receive. And again, I began to consistently lose the weight. So somewhere within my 90th day, I realized, and it was a spiritual transformation for me because I was so grateful that I took action. I was at such a desperate state of consciousness that I had no choice but to cry out to God. And I believe during my weakest moments is when I gained clarity and I began willing to listen. I mentioned that I was credit card rich and finances poor. I literally identified myself with my professional career, with my credit report, and with the way I was treated on a fiscal level, because I wanted people to think I had everything going on, which I did on paper. But I learned through this process that I needed God and that I had been disobedient in following right counsel. The information was always there for me, but when I reached a point of desperation is when I became willing to listen to right counsel. So I think for anybody struggling in this area or any area to that for that matter, that you have to surround yourself with a network of people that have your best interest at heart. And once you have been given right information, you need to follow with a level of obedience to that information given. Thinking that we have all the answers and that we can do this by ourselves is one of the biggest hindrances towards making progress. You have to be willing to surrender. Speak up. You know, a closed mouth does not get fed. And my speaking up was literally a call, a desperation call. You know, I'm struggling here. My health is failing. You know, who knows what would have been my reality if I had not taken the advice of the doctors and the medical professionals and say, okay, Kim, lose this 50 pounds. Because I very well could have walked away, kept the peripheral blindness, struggled back and forth with my blood pressure issues. I could have ignored all of the warning signs, and I shudder to think where I would be at this point if I had not taken drastic measures. So, to answer your question, spiritually for me, it's being cognizant of the fact that it is important. It does not exemplify weakness to ask for help, if that makes sense. It doesn't exemplify weakness to ask for help, and it certainly makes it just makes sense to follow right counsel.
You know, I was having a conversation earlier with some of our advisors, and that scripture came up in the conversation today, Proverbs 15:22, if I'm not mistaken. It says, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Where the lack of counsel is, there's desperation. I mean, you got several versions that you can read it from, but at the end of the day, if we don't have people that are around us to help us through these things, if we don't have the if we don't have the right people, because anybody will tell you anything. Adia and I was talking earlier on the phone about insurance, and we know that a lot of people don't have insurance in this country. 57% of people in this country do not have life insurance. And we can come from all these different angles, but, you know, this conversation that we're having, this dialogue that we're having is critically important, because a lot of people, let's be honest, they die because of health conditions. I know a minister that just died 3 days before Christmas. They had been going through dialysis for about a year. Well, we know that that's just not, you know, God works through that. But at the end of the day, his health failed, and he didn't have insurance, right? So the fact that he didn't have insurance, his health has affected his wealth. And one of the messages that we're trying to get out to people, that we're trying to get across to people, and we're going to be so adamant about it, is this. When we don't put certain things in place and we're not healthy, that's even worse. When you don't put things in place, when we don't have our affairs in order and we're not healthy, then that's just, it's just the worst. Because now it's affecting the wealth. You know, the Bible says, I gave the wrong scripture earlier, but a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And so when people are dying without health insurance, or excuse me, without life insurance, or when people don't have health insurance, then what that does is that puts the family unit in jeopardy. There's a whole bunch of people that have died and left behind, you know, family members, loved ones, that really could have been in a very good position. And then if they were taught certain things, then they could have helped and put their other family members in a good position. And now it goes on for generations. And that's what we have to get back to. So that's why we have to have the conversation about health. And we're not going into everything on today's show. That's why we're glad that we have you for a whole month, so that we can dig into some of these things. And here's what I know about, you know, just from being a minister, is one, is this. Just because I get in the pulpit and I preach a message, or I teach a message, or it's in a PRF learning session, just because we do that doesn't mean that people get it just because we open our mouths and say something. We know that the word of God says in Isaiah that it will not go out and return void, but it doesn't say it's going to take root the first time you say it. So we have to sometimes be repetitive with what we're talking about. So let me just, you know, open it up and see if there's anybody who's listening that wants to join into the conversation, if they want to ask Kimberly Silas, our guest, our body transformation coach, and talk to her and ask her some questions, because a lot of times people are struggling. People are struggling with a varied amount of things. I'm going to ask everybody to please mute your microphones, if you will. Thank you. There's a lot of people that are struggling, and they need help in certain areas. And you said it best, Kimberly. You said a closed mouth does not get fed. So while God has ordained for this space, not just on tonight's show, but also for the rest of the shows that we're going to have every Thursday of this month, call in, y'all. I'm encouraging you. If you're listening to this show by archives, call in next Thursday so that you can actually get some of the help that you need and get on the right path. So if you're listening and you want to join into the conversation, call in at the number 347-215-7934. We'd love to hear your question. We'd love to hear your comment and see what you have for Kimberly, because we know she'll be able to give you something that's going to really be able to help you and to bless you. Let me ask this, unless one of our other hosts has something they want to bring in. You talked about, you used the word earlier about transformation. And you also used the phrase about embracing the process. Can we go further with embracing the process? Because when we teach financial healing, when we teach our courses and our lessons on financial healing, we're teaching people that it is about the process. Now, my process may be different than your process. My process may require me to lose 20 pounds. Your process may require you to lose 40 pounds. My process may require me to get life insurance, like ASAP. Your process may require you to get burial insurance or final expense policy, to have something in place, because you may not have all of the money that is needed for a final expense policy because of age or health reasons or whatever. So, you know, for me, it may only be $25 a month, but for you, it may be $75 a month. Can we talk a little bit about embracing the process?
Absolutely.
And what are some things that people can do just from a health perspective? What would you say to somebody who doesn't want to call in, who's a little bit shy, that says, you know what, I know I need to deal with my health in a different way, but I just don't know where to go, because there's a lot of people out here with a lot of different products, There's a lot on TV. If you watch some of these shows on TV and these infomercials, you're going to believe that all you got to do is sit there and let this little machine rub your belly for about, you know, 35 minutes and you don't have to do anything else. Well, that ain't going to do nothing for your heart. Mm-hmm. It may give you a six-pack, but it ain't going to do nothing for your heart. So what are some steps that you took specifically to help with your process?
As I stated, I started this process out of complete and wholehearted desperation. I was literally at the end of the road, and I knew that it was a situation that was much greater than myself. I left that doctor's office when I was denied the scheduling for the surgery with a lot of dread, with a lot of hardship and disparity on my heart. I felt hopeless. The first 48 hours, I cried. I was in a state of self-pity. I was in the fetal position. And during that process, I had to pray. And I believe that prayer went something like, I can't do this, I don't know how, and I need help. And somewhere in the midst of that, it came to me that you have to accept where you are, embrace your current circumstances, and move forward from there. A lot of times when we're trying to lose weight, we see ourselves, we're 20 plus, and we see ourselves as a size 12. It's unconscionable. It is unrealistic to think that in 30 days you're going to go from a 20 plus to a size 12. And you will not fall in love with yourself once you've reached that size range. You're going to have to embrace where you are and learn to love yourself in that moment. So I began to realize through that prayer and through my process early on that I was worth it, and that no matter how much weight I lost, if I didn't learn to appreciate who I was and value myself, to develop a healthy sense of self, that it didn't matter how much weight I lost, I was still going to be that same person internally, just 200 pounds smaller. So my prayer was such that I wanted God to heal me from an internal perspective. Because once I realized that that I was going to take ownership of my worthiness, I believe strongly in the word of God. I just did not execute it in my life, Dr. Dunlap. I believe that it was working in the lives of other people. I had just not accepted it in my own life. No matter what your religious beliefs are or your cultural beliefs are, as long as you believe that there is a power greater than yourself that can help you transform and get through these processes, that's the power that you're going to have to call on. But if you think you're doing it all by yourself, you're setting yourself up for failure. And it worked for me. It worked for me. I began to grow more spiritually. And as a result, I'm much, much, much healthier. But to answer your question in short, you can't wait to the end result to think that a light is going to come on and you learn to value, adore, and appreciate yourself. You're going to have to call for that to come in on the forefront. In the beginning, I believe that I'm worthy. I believe that it is my birthright to be healthy and well. I believe that I was called for a day such as this. And I had to believe that, and I had to stand on that. No matter what the outward appearance looked like, I had to believe that I was doing not only a great service for myself, but for my family as well. Let me say this, Dr. Dunlap. You were talking about the minister that transitioned without health insurance, and it brought me back to a place when I was struggling with my health. I had to have a major orthopedic surgery on both my ankles and both my feet. And I know, despite the fact that the doctor never told me this, but the weight did great damage to me structurally. And during that time, I was off from work for an extended period of time. The time that I was out of work exceeded my medical leave of absence, and I exhausted all of my FMLA insurance. So I chose during that time to tap into my 401k plan. And before a year was out, Dr. Dunlap, I had exhausted all of the money that I could receive without penalty. And when I go back today and look at all of the bills that I accumulated through that time off, in a year's time, not only had I received insurance benefits, but I exhausted over $20,000 out of my retirement plan. So what I was ultimately doing was, as a direct result of my inability to accept personal responsibility for my health and wellness, I was transferring that accountability over to my family members and people that love me, because I soon ran out of eligible money to tap into, and therefore I had to rely on family. And it's not fair. It's not fair to them because they've got their own things that they're preparing for and their plans for retirement and setting things aside. But because I spent 10 to 20 years in denial of my health and wellness, the end result was that I have to lean on my family and pull from their reservoir. So, yeah, that kind of hit home for me when you said that. I was like, wow, I can truly identify.
Wow, thank you so much. I am learning a lot. I'm taking notes. You know, you started talking about, this is Adia, by the way, you started talking about the financial piece. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Nate and I were talking earlier, you know, when it's about the life insurance, about how people will put their family members, they're no longer living with us, but their family members are suffering because they're having to get a loan or, you know, put a lien or something or a title thing or whatever it is on their home just to be able to bury a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
So as during the time that you, you know, had, you know, gained a lot of the weight, can you talk about, like, how much money do you think you were spending, or did you ever pay attention to how much money you were spending when you were at your heaviest weight versus now how much money you're spending and saving, you know, during both of those different time periods, you know, being heavy and now that you've lost all of the weight?
Wow, Adia, that's a good question. Okay. I'm going to say that I probably save at this venue $2,400 to $3,000 a year. That's how much I probably save. Eating out, buying foods that I don't, just buying stuff that, the things that I would buy typically, fast foods, pizzas, hamburgers, just all of the additional fast food, if averaging $200 to $300 additional dollars a month, it would put me somewhere between $2,400 to $3,000 savings per year.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when you see, I mean, I guess like when you look back on how much money you were spending on, you know, the fast food, the unhealthy food,
mm-hmm.
versus now, mentally, has your mindset changed to say, because I've lost the weight and now I can see where I was spending the money, has that helped you to start saving that money that you were spending prior to your transformation?
Absolutely, and reinvesting it in other areas, Adia, it really, really does. Number one, you're not as quick to make unhealthy financial decisions. I started off by saying that I was living in a state of spiritual bondage. It affects every area of your life. It's not just about having poor eating habits. It's a poor personal self-image. So because I thought of myself so poorly, I would make poor choices all around because the foods no longer satisfied me. So I'm going to go into the mall and buy as much stuff as I can get my hands on because one of these items that I purchase is going to fix me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like you make poor choices all the way around. buying friendships. That's another thing, buying friendships, because you want people to accept you as you are. You begin to act outside of character, and part of keeping unhealthy friendships around is that you have to give them a motive to stay. So I was generally buying friendships, spending money on people who would never have my best interest at heart. So it's a spiritual bondage, and all it took was for me to get desperate, Adia. I had to get desperate. I couldn't think of another way. And not only, you know, when I went for that consultation, it wasn't because I was overweight. It was because my health had failed me, past tense, not failing. It had failed me. I was partially paralyzed on my left side, constant numbness in my hands, borderline diabetic. They couldn't regulate my blood pressure or my cholesterol, and the peripheral blindness was a direct result of the excessive intensity of my blood pressure. So I had to do something. It had to be done right then. So again, I thought the gastric bypass was a winning of a lottery ticket. I was like, yes, I'm going to go get this surgery and it's going to be all good and I'll never have to worry about food again. But I am so grateful that God said it does not work that way. It doesn't work that way. You must take full and wholehearted accountability for where you are in this situation, and you will learn how to take care of yourself and honor your temple. And that's the process, learning to love yourself from the inside out, because I'm still approximately 50 to 60 pounds from where I think I should be health-wise. But I don't regret those 160 pounds that I lost. I don't deem myself as unworthy or unfit because I've been at this, like, slow pace for the last 90 days. I'm okay with it because I have developed a passion for loving myself. I am passionately and wholeheartedly in tune to taking the best care of me possible. So that's the payoff. That's where the empowerment in knowing that is worth more than its weight in gold. And there is hope. Hi.
Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No. Is this Mama?
No, this is Shatara. No.
Hi. I was saying that there's hope and health for food addiction, and that God has the best weight loss program in the world. I suggest anybody to go 100% organic and all natural, because it teaches you healing and restoration, number one. But it teaches you obedience, discipline, and consistency. And that's what it takes when you're really wanting to tackle this monster, just to go in for it and make it a lifestyle versus a process.
Okay. That was good. That was good. I have a two-part question for you.
Okay.
So you said that you still had 50 or 60 pounds that you wanted to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you use for yourself when you're looking yourself in the mirror? And we can use that analogy and apply it even to somebody who's trying to get their credit in order, trying to save money, or trying to get their 401k on track. What do you use to re-motivate yourself to keep pushing towards that mark?
There's a couple of things that I use. Number one, I'm in a constant state of prayer and meditation. It's nurturing to me, number one, to know that I can do this and I'm not alone. I'm in a constant state of prayer and meditation. But from a physical perspective, number one, I have a network, a team of passionate individuals who practice the same lifestyle, and the support is phenomenal. I always feel like I have an accountability partner. I have a number of accountability partners. And last but not least is I chose to tackle my health issues from a holistic and organic perspective. The products that I choose to use, they detoxify the body. They sustain you. They input energy into your system. So you kind of look forward. I look forward to knowing that my body is operating at optimal performance. But to answer your question, just in a quick reference, I would say that it is my network, the company that I keep, a constant state of prayer and meditation and utilizing products that that nourish the body versus ripping the fat from the body.
Okay. And the second part of the question is, for the person that has not gotten to where you are right now, and they're fighting that fight too, or they're in the same battle, how do you motivate them? Because maybe they didn't get to that point of desperation that you're in, that you were in when you decided that you were going to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to the person that's not at that point yet to get them to see that they need to make the change?
You know, sometimes that can be very challenging because, of course, when you you want everybody to be healed and restored. You know, I just want to scream on a mountaintop that, look, if I can do this, anybody can. It is my ministry to encourage and empower as many people as possible that are seeking to lose weight and to be set free. But you can't always, you know how they say you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. That has been a little challenging for me because I want everybody to get this. And everybody doesn't grasp it at the same rate of speed. But what I can say is that spiritually it has been revealed to me that I can't dictate and determine who gets it and when they get it. My commitment is to remain consistent. Through consistency and being willing to be transparent when it comes to my testimony, it has been the resource that I use to attract people in. Because in the beginning, what I was doing was going around passing out pamphlets and, you know, speaking on the microphone and come with me and I'll teach you the way. And, you know, you may, out of 100 people, you may get 2 committed people. And it was kind of discouraging to me in the beginning because I said, well, maybe I'm not doing something right. But spiritually, it was revealed to me that, Kimberly, you knew for 20 years you were overweight, and you had to reach your willingness, a level of willingness. So what I pray for is that people come quicker to their level of awareness that there's a need. Mm-hmm. And that also that they be empowered, that they be enlightened in their empowerment. Once you get that enlightening of the empowerment that you have, that this is so simple that we overcomplicate it. You know, it's so very simple. I didn't mention to you that for the first year, I didn't walk into a gym or walk around a track. I was at home losing weight. I didn't want people to see me like that. And I was too, I wasn't mobile. I wasn't as mobile as I would have liked to be to in my perception of somebody that's in a gym. Through this process, I've learned to be passionate about working out and training, but that's not where I started. So I think it's a step-by-step, day-by-day process, and I would be so honored if I could just attract the masses. But that hasn't necessarily been the case. Over these past couple of years, I have acquired consistency in my level of following. But in the beginning, I think I was a little spiritually immature and that I probably ran off more people than I attract because I was dictating how the process should go.
Man. Kimberly, this is Adia again. You brought up something when you said that you became aware and you didn't want people to see you, you know, the way that you were. Before that, I mean, were you cognizant of how you looked or Not really. And the reason why I asked that question is because I was reading something a couple of months ago, and it was about, you know, about weight loss, and it was saying that until that some people just are not aware, they are not, they know that they're here on the earth, they're living, breathing, doing a lot of different things. But when it comes to weight loss, or if it comes to, you know, whatever it may be, you know, maybe mm-hmm. people are broke or whatever, you know, like financially broke or struggling, or mm-hmm. know that they have an ingrown toenail, but they just kind of deal with it. Was there a point to where you said, oh my gosh, like I need to lose weight because I weigh 400 and something pounds?
You
but
know,
prior to that, you kind of didn't really pay attention to how much you weigh, if that makes sense?
You know what, Adia, it's a little bit of both. Number one,
okay.
I'm 6'2". I'm a very tall female, so for me to be statuesque or tall or larger than the average female is custom. It's normalcy for me. But the weight, because everybody said, oh, you dress so nice, you're such a pretty girl. You know, I just adapted to the belief that I was going to be big all of my life. So even at my heaviest weight, I had masked a level of denial that there was something wrong with me. So I accepted myself as a big person. But where I didn't want people to see me was when I decided that I was going to lose the weight, when I decided that it had just gotten out of control. I wanted to go from a 20 to a 12 in 30 days and then let the world see me. That coupled with the fact that I didn't want to go to a gym and try to get on the treadmill when I knew I couldn't do any more than 10 minutes. So whoever was in the gym was going to say, what did she even come for if she was only going to do 10 minutes on the treadmill? So I think I was more caught up in what people would think of me versus what was best for my situation.
Okay. And I ask that because I think it's you know, when I look at, I think I was, oh gosh, 20. I think I was 19 or 20, and I had my car repossessed, fell behind on payments, and you were talking about, like, you know, asking for help, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. And it wasn't until after the car got repossessed that I called my mom and told her what happened. And she was like, why didn't you just say something? And my thing was, because I was scared, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, I can remember just not being able to make ends meet financially, you know. I can remember, you know, not having enough food to eat and how I felt, you know what I'm saying. But it's kind of like you said, I was aware of it, but I wasn't ready to do anything about it. So I knew financially where I was, but I wasn't ready to do anything about it. And it really, it wasn't until, I'm 35, so it wasn't until I turned 30 years old. And I tell people this, you know, on my 30th birthday, January 27th, I don't know what year it was. It might have been 2010 or 11. But when I turned 30, that is when the light bulb came on to where it was just like, do you understand what you've been doing all of these years? You know, all of these years that you were scared to save, that you were scared to invest because you were looking at the right now and never once thinking about the future. And I'm just listening to you in the parallel that is there, whether it is weight loss, whether it is learning, trying to save money, whether it is, you know, do I make a decision to start doing a budget? There's such a parallel where there has to be a level of awareness and acceptance. And you said it so clearly that I have to accept responsibility because if I start shifting it to other people, then I never have to say Adia is going to do this, or Adia, you are the reason why you are not where you want to be, because I've put my dependency or I've shifted my responsibility onto somebody else, even though they may not even want it, but they're doing it just because it's me. And I thank you so much. I really do because you just kind of tied that together, how your weight loss transformation affects and impacts people in so many different areas of their lives. It's not just weight loss, but it's my finances or the lack thereof, or my inability to save, or to deal, you know, how I react in relationships with other people. So I thank you so much.
Thank
I really
you.
Do. And I'm going to shut
you.
Up.
No.
Well, listen, we are getting down to our last couple of minutes of the show, so we just wanted to give Kimberly another opportunity. If there's any final words that you have for our audience, please share them now. And if there is any way that you want to put out how people can get in contact with you, because, see, we know that when we're seeking help from people, a lot of times we will reach out to people that have experienced the same things that we have experienced. So whatever information, Kimberly, that you want to put out, please do so, and give us a final thought, if you will, or something to hang our hats on until we come again next week.
Absolutely. Of course, you can reach me on Facebook at Kimberly.Silas. That's Kimberly.Silas, S-I-L-A-S, at Facebook. You can reach me through my email address at customercare@shift2greatness.com. And I'm also on Instagram, and I am on Twitter at KamariSunshine@twitter.com. In closing, Dr. Dunlap, again, I want to just say thank you so very much. I am honored and humbled that you invited me into this platform. But I think in closing, what's heavy on my spirit right now is that the accountability factor, that I have the empowerment, no matter what the circumstances are, to see them with new eyes and to understand the power principles behind faith, you know, just faith, believing. In closing, I want to say that thoughts become things. Anything that you think upon, you will attract into your life. So when I began to think constantly about being healthier, wealthier, more likable, more lovable, more spiritually in tune, those are the things that began to thirst in my spirit. And I mean, it'll take us into another show to talk about the spiritual transformation, but that is such a huge component in my success. And I can't deny that physically there wasn't a doctor in this country that could have healed me. They could have given me the gastric bypass, and I have seen people have that surgery, suffer significantly in their health, and gain all the weight back. So I just want to say that thoughts become things, and I am so incredibly grateful that it was just my time to be in the right and perfect alignment with the perfect will of God. So I want to say thank you, Dr. Dunlap. I am so excited, and I am enthusiastic about my future. One of my coaches and mentors, Shanita Foster, she is an amazing, amazing woman, but she often coaches and trains young business professionals. And she said that knowing the level of your empowerment, but my future is bright because my consciousness is right. When you align yourself in right consciousness, it is not about us. We are just vapors, you know, and that God has given us this amazing opportunity of the physical life, and that we should take every opportunity and use it and be right stewards over that opportunity. So I am truly a work in progress, and I'm just grateful to be here.
Amen.
I'm just grateful.
Well, listen, we're excited that you're here. We're excited that you're going to be back with us next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we just encourage everybody to tune in. Invite your friends. Tell your friends and tell your family members. Tell the people who you love. This is what we're talking about here on the PRF table. So until next week, God bless you. We love you. You can catch us at prfministry.org to see what we have going on. And also, blogtalkradio.com/PRFTable. That's where you can find all of our shows. Until next week, God bless you. We love you. Have a good evening.